I wonder, do you remember the 7th of December 1941? Well, I don't remember it, but I've certainly read about it. And the history books record how on that day, scores of Japanese fighter and bomber planes attacked Pearl Harbor in Honolulu. Many ships and planes were destroyed, and thousands of young men were killed. And President Roosevelt called it a day that would live in infamy. Perhaps not too many of us can recall back to 1941. But I'm sure we can all remember the 11th of September, 2001, that day when war came to America. That awful day when the twin towers of the World Trade Center came crashing down, just like a deck of cards. And when almost 4,000 people lost their lives. And both of those days had something in common. And on both of those occasions, that mighty, powerful country of America was totally unprepared. And as we gather on this Sunday evening before the 12th of July celebrations, during the children's address, I've already alluded to some of the preparations that have been made. During the past week, I was seeing men busy around the village, putting up the bunting, putting up the arch, involved in all that needs to be involved in. And perhaps there are still preparations that need to be made for Wednesday for things to go smoothly. Isn't it true for a smooth day, for things to happen in whatever circle we're involved in, for things to go smoothly, good preparations need to be made. And in the journey of life, a wise man is always prepared. He prepares for the future and makes preparation for his family and have spurred for his retirement years. The motto of the Scouts, well, many of you will know that, is simply those two words, be prepared. And Almighty God also believes in preparedness. And so he thunders out from heaven the words that we read earlier from Amos 4 and 12. Those words that you'll know well, prepare to meet your God. God was warning the nation of Israel to get ready for the appointed hour of judgment. The opening verses of Amos 4 help us to set in context exactly what was going on. And at the heart of the problem was the fact that the people of God, they were filled with empty religion. God was not pleased with Israel because they were simply going through the motions of religion. In verse 5 of that reading, we discover that the people were bringing thank offerings and free will offerings, and they boasted about what they were doing in the hope that everyone would know how generous and pious they were. Burn leavened bread as a thank offering and brag about your free will offerings. Boast about them, you Israelites, for this is what you love to do, declares the sovereign Lord. And as God surveyed all of that, as God took all of that on board, the bottom line was this: he despised their offering because at no point did they present a sin offering. Presumably because they had a sense that they were not sinful. And I believe this is equally true for many people in our day and our generation. Perhaps the only reason you're here this evening is because this is the annual Orange Service. Don't get me wrong, we're delighted to see visitors. We're delighted to see everyone here this evening. But let me encourage you tonight. Indeed, let me challenge you tonight to become a regular attender at public worship. Yes, you may well be a good person and even give money to the church. But maybe tonight the reality is that you have no real sense of your own sin. It's possible that you do not see or recognize in the sight of a holy God that all that you actually deserve is to face God's punishment. And you feel that your good works, you feel that your fine character, or maybe you even feel that your membership of the loyal orders will get you into heaven. God was gracious to Israel, and he warned them time and time again. And in an effort to get Israel to turn from their false religious path, we read in verses 6 to 11 how God warned his people. He warned them through famine, through drought, through crop blight, through disease, through war. All of these warnings were coming large before them. And God sent all those things so that the people would return to God. But sadly, as we read earlier from Amos 4, time and time again, they refused to hear that warning. And again, when we stop and we really think about things, we would surely have to acknowledge that God has sent many warnings to our nation. And surely as he looks over our land, over this little village, this community, indeed over our denomination, his desire is that surely the people may be awakened from their lethargy, from their sin, and seek him. I tell you, this is an important message for us all tonight. God is not interested in empty religion. And that's why he booms out this message to us. Prepare to meet your God. And so from this well-known text of Scripture, I want us just to wrestle with three very simple questions. Questions that I hope you'll be able to take home with you tonight. Questions that might even trouble you tonight and even in the days ahead. What are those three questions? Well, we're going to think about why you should prepare to meet God, how you should prepare to meet God, and when should you prepare to meet God. So firstly then, let's consider the why question. Why should you as an individual prepare to meet God? First and foremost, you should prepare to meet God because Almighty God demands it. Not because a preacher says it from a pulpit, but because Almighty God demands it. And like an unbroken thread running through the Scriptures, God's command is for us as mere individuals to prepare to meet him. And I tell you tonight, that's tragic when people do not obey that command. In the work of ministry, there are many difficult things to deal with. And some of you will know that many years ago, I worked for the Belfast City Mission. And as I think back on those years of the mission, there were many difficult times. There were times of great tension within the Tigers Bay area in which I worked in. But perhaps the most difficult task was when I was asked to conduct funerals of people who had no church connection and who had had no thought of the things of God. I tell you, it was tragic. It was tragic beyond words that those people, I'm sure, had heard the way of salvation. And yet as they departed from this scene of time, no one could say that they had made any preparation. It's a very solemn thought. But if you were to be suddenly ushered from this scene of time, what could be said about you? Yes, no doubt many good things could be said of you. But what about the matter of salvation? Could the person conducting your funeral be able to say with confidence that you were absent from the body, you were present with the Lord? Or indeed, would it be an awful situation of those around saying, well, you know what? I never heard him or her making preparation for heaven. Yes, God demands that you prepare for heaven. But we must also prepare for heaven because of our sinful condition. God is holy. God is righteous. Whereas man in his natural realm is sinful and unrighteous. And some of you may not like this evening, but we remind ourselves that everyone in this meeting house tonight, everyone preacher down. We're all sinners. I'd say, well, sure, you don't know me. How do you know I'm a sinner? I can say that on the authority of God's word, because God's word says we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all born in sin. And praise God, there are sinners who've been saved by God's grace. But perhaps even this evening, there are those who are still lingering in their sin. And if that be the case, then this evening it's my duty to warn you that you're not ready to meet a thrice holy God. As long as you walk in sin and without Jesus as your Savior, then you can never be in God's presence. Only Jesus can give us that holiness and righteousness that can enable us to face God. So let me ask you tonight, personally, are you really trusting in Jesus? Yes, you need to prepare to meet God because God demands it because of your sinful condition. But there's a third reason why as individuals we need to prepare, and that's the fact of our lost condition. Luke 19 and verse 10 reminds us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Folks here in Trinity will know that I grew up in Rathcoole, Loyalist Estate outside of Belfast. I don't think I'll need to explain any more than that. But as I grew up as a young boy up in Glengormley, a large out-of-town shopping mall was built. It was the first of its kind, Stewart's Supermarket in Glengormley, and it was quite big news that this had been built, that people just no longer had to go to the local stores, but they could travel up to Glengormley, and all that they were going to save, of course, going to the big supermarket. Well, I remember going with my mother. I was just a young boy. I wasn't really that excited as she was going to this supermarket, but we traveled up on the bus to this supermarket in Glengormley. And when we arrived, there was a little roundabout affair at the door. And just to prove this wasn't yesterday, it was 2 pence to get on this little roundabout. And this was new, this was exciting. We didn't have roundabouts down in Rathcoole. And I thought, well, sure, why don't I just stay here and play for a while and you go and do the shopping? Seemed like a fair enough idea. And so I stayed. Mum gave me whatever 2p she had, and off she went to do the shopping. I played for a while on this roundabout, other children, all the rest. But of course, the 2p ran out. And so I had to get off, and other children had to get on, and it just wasn't as exciting anymore, standing watching. And as time went on, I got bored, and I thought, well, what am I going to do? And so the bright lad that I went to the little desk and said, I'm lost. Oh, you're lost. Who did you come here with? Came with my mummy, but I don't know where she is. Come on in. And so the girl turned on the microphone, and would the mother of Brian Smith come to the information desk? And my mother heard the message, but she thought, well, not because the name was Smith. You know, she didn't panic herself too much. She carried on. I was with the lady in the office, and time was going on. Nobody had turned up. And maybe she was starting to panic. She was going to be stuck with me all day. So she again made the announcements with a bit more effort to it this time. Would the mother of Brian Smith come immediately to the information desk? And by this time, of course, mother was going through the checkout. And she'd heard the announcement, must be my Brian. So she left all that she had, and she came rushing towards the information desk, and I could see her coming, and I was thinking, this is great, here she comes. And I said to the girl, this is my mummy coming. And my mother wasn't the smallest of ladies, let's just put it that way, but she was hot and bothered, like all mothers are when there's something wrong. And as she made her way up, she says, what is it, what's wrong? I says, what's wrong? I says, all the 2p are done. I says, that's what's wrong. I had pretended to be lost But of course, I wasn't lost at all. And I quickly got a round the head back on the bus, and it was a day or two before I was out again. And looking back on that childhood little memory, yes, it can cause us to laugh, to smile. But I want to say this tonight, men and women. To be spiritually lost is no laughing matter. To be lost means eternal suffering. The Lord Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In Luke 16, we read of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus went to heaven. He was at Abraham's side. The rich man ended up in hell, and he was in torment. And hell is a real place for individuals who die outside of Christ. And that's why tonight we sound that clear message from this pulpit that you need to make preparation. Oh, in life we can suffer many losses. Health, wealth, family, friends can all be lost. But the greatest loss of all is when an individual loses their own soul. Being lost means eternal separation from God. Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. And he wants you to be with him in eternity. But that will only be possible if you make that preparation. Oh, please don't allow the devil to make you think it doesn't matter. He will come and tell you not to worry about it. And if you die without Jesus, sure, it'll all work out anyway. You're a good person. You're a good Presbyterian. But I tell you in the authority of God's word that that is lies from the pit itself. The Bible clearly teaches the conscious suffering of every lost soul will happen. The soul of man lives on. Those who have died in Christ, they will be in heaven. Praise God. And those who die outside of Christ will spend all eternity suffering forever and ever and ever in hell. And if death really ends at all, and I'm sure many would say, well, then life isn't really worth the struggle. But death is not the end. Rather, it's just the beginning. And for the believer, death is the beginning of a wonderful life in the presence of God, a life free from all suffering and pain. For those who die rejecting Jesus, then death brings the beginning of a life of endless suffering and shame. I know with assurance where I'm going. Do you? But let's move on from the why question, and instead we want to think about the how question. How should you prepare to meet God? And let me quickly remind you what you need to do. The Bible clearly teaches that we need to repent, and I was asking the children here in church this morning, what is repentance? And one of them were able to remind me, it's turning away. It's turning from sin and turning towards God. We all know that command, perhaps from our childhood days, about turn. We're going that direction. We do an about turn and go in the other direction. And spiritually speaking, that's what we need to do. We need to turn away from sin. We need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you may well be like the people that we read of in Amos chapter 4. You may well be religious, but empty religion did not please God then. And I tell you, it does not please God today. In John 3, we read of a religious man named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He was a man of good standing. He was well known within his community. And yet Jesus said to this man who came to him with all this good works around about him, he said to him, I tell you the truth that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Those are the words of Jesus. Not the words of Brian Smith. The words of Jesus said, you must be born again. And the bottom line is, there are only two things that you as an individual can do with your sin. You can either hold on to it and then ultimately be lost forever, or with God's grace, you can turn from it to Jesus and be saved forever. But only you can decide that tonight. I cannot decide that for you. No one can decide that for you. Only Jesus can save your soul. And that would lead me on to remind you of the second thing you must do to prepare to meet God. And that is that you must come to Jesus. You must come to Jesus. See, not only must you leave your sin, but you must go further. You must turn and completely trust in Jesus. It won't be your standing. It won't be because you're part of an organization that will save you. But it's only through faith in Jesus. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts 20 and 21. He said, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our repentance is towards God, for it is His commands we have disobeyed. It is against Him that we have sinned. It's faith towards Jesus, for He is the object of saving faith. I remind you tonight that it was Jesus who gave His life so willingly and sacrificially so that our sins could be forgiven. The choir were reminding us of that earlier when they sang, the blood will never lose its power. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And so it's to Him that I point you to tonight. I don't point you to a church. I don't point you to a denomination. I point you to Jesus. He's the only one who can save you. He's the only one who has paid the price for your sin. And tonight He says, come. Come and lay down those rebellious arms. Come and trust in Me. Oh, praise God, the very moment that a sinner seeks God's face and forgiveness. Praise God, that very moment they're safe and they're saved forevermore. Tell me tonight, do you feel safe? When you put your head on the pillow at night, do you feel safe? Do you think to yourself, well, should I not wake and I know where I'm going? The hymn writer was able to say, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breast, there by His love were seated. Sweetly my soul shall rest. Here's the good news tonight. The good news is that it's not God's will that any should perish. It's not God's will that anybody in this gathering tonight would end up in that awful place called hell. And that's why, if you've never done so, that's why you need to make preparation. And right now, God invites you to come to Him. Listen to this wonderful invitation from Isaiah 1 and 18. It says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, I don't know your background tonight. I don't know what has happened in your life in the past. I don't need to know. Maybe you say, but if you knew me, you would know I couldn't be saved. Listen, anybody can be saved. Praise God, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're maybe red like crimson, they can be like wool. And so this loving, gracious, merciful, reasonable God again warns you tonight to come. To come and prepare to meet your Maker. So we've already considered two questions. Why should you prepare to meet God, and how should you prepare to meet God? But our final question is also of great importance. When? When should you prepare to meet God? At the answer to that question, I want the Scriptures to speak for themselves. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. In the time of my fever, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 4 and verse 7, we read, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Back in the Old Testament, Proverbs 27 and 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. No, I believe this is a vital message for many in this gathering. I believe there are many who know what they need to do, but for whatever reason, they keep putting it off. I wonder, does that describe you this evening? Please stop rejecting God's offer of salvation. But rather this evening, come and trust him. The reality is we do not know when our lives will end. It may be soon, but in the light of eternity, the stark reality is it won't be long for any of us. It may be at night when the entire world is quiet, when the death angel comes for you. It may be at dawn when the world is waking. It may be at noon when the world is busy. It could happen at any season of the year because every day someone leaves this scene of time. Funeral directors are seldom finding themselves with nothing to do. We do not know when our lives will end, but we must be ready for that final hour. One day we must all give an account of these little lives of ours. And thank God, the good news is we can be ready. Not because of the good works that we have, not because of our fine character, but because we have repented of our sins, sincerely trusted in Jesus as our Savior. Yes, as I said earlier, for things to go smoothly on Wednesday, for things to go smoothly on any 12th day, preparations have to be made. And likewise, for us to enjoy the glory and splendor of heaven, we too must make preparation for it. I conclude with a true story of a young man who bought a life insurance policy from a Christian salesman. And on the day the policy was delivered, the insurance man said to this younger man, he says, you know, you've taken out insurance to protect your family when you're gone. And that's a wonderful thing. You're a wise young man. But he said to him, but what about some eternal life insurance that will cover you for time and eternity? The young man was immediately interested, and the Christian salesman talked and explained the gospel to him, and soon this young man put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He went out of that office in a happy mood, being well insured for this life and the life to come. Tragically, this true story records that that young man never made it to his home as he was killed in an accident. What if he hadn't used his final opportunity to trust the Savior? As a preacher, I have to say it's almost a scary thing. It's almost scary to think that this evening could be someone's final opportunity to get right with God. The solemn reality is that you might be prepared for Wednesday. You might have all that you need ready for Wednesday. And the reality is that you might not even be alive on the 12th morning. The solemn reality is that this could be the final church service you will ever attend. This could be the final invitation that you will ever receive to get right with God. And so God says, prepare to meet your God. And that's our humble prayer tonight. That if you're struggling in that very matter, if you've never made that preparation, well, maybe you're right at the line of making it. Maybe you're tormented about this matter and you've been thinking and thinking and thinking. Please think no more. Step over the line. Trust in Jesus tonight and be sure that you've made that preparation. Be sure that one day you'll be in glory. You'll be there even with loved ones who have gone on before. May that be the reality of your heart and life this evening. May it be so for the glory of God. Let us pray. Oh, our Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your presence among us tonight. We thank you for your stillness across this meeting house. And we do believe that you have been speaking to hearts and lives here. We do believe, Father, that there are those in this gathering who need to make that preparation. Oh, they've been thinking about it. They've been wrestling with it. And the closer they get to it, then they pull back again. Oh, Father, would you help them? Help them to have that courage that even this very night that they would call upon the name of the Lord and be gloriously saved. Oh, we realize, Lord, that no matter who we are, what standing we have in society, that it's only Jesus that can cleanse us of our sin. It's only Jesus that can prepare us for heaven. And so our heart's prayer would be for any who are still without you tonight, that they'll make it their business to trust in you, to not put it off one single night more, but to be absolutely sure that their hearts are prepared for heaven and for home. Grant it, Lord, we pray, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to conclude with a great old hymn. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. Maybe tonight, very strangely, you've heard that voice. Maybe tonight your heart has been pounding. Maybe you're thinking, I need to get out of here. I tell you, that's God speaking. That's God dealing with you. And I trust and pray that even as you would be aware of that upon your life, that you'll not let it pass by. But even this night, the 9th of July, 2017, would be the night when you would call upon the name of the Lord and know him, and to know his life eternal.